Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC from the Aspen Ideas Festival today. And by the way, don't forget, we can't take your phone calls, but our comments page is always open. So if you have any ideas of your own that you want to add to the ones you're hearing here, go and do it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. One of the participants is Alice Waters, a beloved pioneer of the slow food movement in the United States. She's the creator of the famed restaurant Chez Panisse in Berkeley, and she's on a mission to change the relationship between Americans and their food. Alice, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show in Aspen.
Thank you.
And I want to get right back into that conversation we were having off the air about how you are arranging dinner for 100 people here at Aspen tonight, because it really comes back to your philosophy of how to cook and the place of food in our society, doesn't it? How do you cook for 100 people and come out with something that's good and not institutional?
When we first called up the leaders of the slow food movement here in Denver and in Colorado and asked them what was available at this moment in time, what was delicious, sustainably produced, what was really going to be available to us on this particular day.
And let me stop you right there, because there's an important idea immediately, that you, coming from Berkeley, weren't just thinking about food in the abstract, what food you would ideally like to serve. You wanted to know what was of the place you were coming to.
Exactly.
And the season.
I just like to connect people with this moment in time. They're here in the mountains, these beautiful mountains. And I want to know how to connect with the place, with the botany of this place.
So what'd you find?
Well, we're not quite sure what all the vegetables are right now, but we knew that we wanted to do a kind of spring vegetable soup. We knew that because of the seasons, we're up in the mountains, that they're probably about a month or so behind us in terms of products that are fruits and vegetables that are available. And so we were thinking spring vegetable soup, maybe we'll have some peas, maybe we'll certainly have young carrots and onions and garlic, and maybe we'll have a little greenhouse basil, organic greenhouse basil. I'm not opposed to using that, or a few organic canned tomatoes from last year. But we're going to use lamb, because that's what's available here, and we're going to cook it two different ways.
And as you arrive in Aspen, food is very much in the news. I was seeing it on the cable TV crawl as we were coming in, that now they don't know if it's just tomatoes or if it even is tomatoes that has the salmonella problem. Besides finding where the problem is, does it also say something about our relationship with food in America in 2008?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea that food is available all of the time, not only the same food all year long, but 24 hours a day, that you can have this with this availability, is so disconnecting to what's really important, which is the turn of those seasons, what's ripe, because that's where the taste is in the ripe berry, the ripe tomato. We don't use tomatoes at the restaurant, fresh tomatoes.
At your restaurant, you don't use any tomatoes?
No tomatoes, except we have them July, August, September, a little bit into October, and that's all. It's over. And so we can tomatoes that we use for the rest of the year. But that's how we think about it, and it really drives the menus of the restaurant. I don't have to go through books and try to find what I'm going to do with this or that. I am looking forward to what is about to come and how I can use it, whether it's strawberries or figs.
The term slow food obviously stands in opposition to fast food. And I think you've already given us some wonderful examples of what that represents. Has your message evolved since you started Chez Panisse with this philosophy in mind in 1971?
Well, in 71, I was looking for taste. That's all I was looking for. I may have had some ideas about sustainability in the back of the mind because I grew up in Berkeley, but basically I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for the food that tasted like the food I had eaten in France and in other parts of Europe. And I couldn't find it. And I was just on a search. And we ended up at the doors of the local sustainable farmers and ranches. And then I began to put those two things together. That these are the people that care about the land, that are taking care of the land. And that cooking is really 75-85% about finding the right ingredients. And then you don't hardly have to do anything to them on the other end.
And next up for you is Slow Food Nation, touted as the biggest festival of American food ever. This is in San Francisco over Labor Day weekend, and not coincidentally, 2 months before the presidential election. You told the San Francisco Chronicle that you want people to, quote, vote with their forks. What does that mean?
This is true. Well, every time, every day, we have a decision that we make about what we're eating. And we can choose to buy our food from the people who share the same values. So the people who are taking care of the land, the people who come to the farmers market, I want to give them my money. And they're looking out for the future of this nation, of this world. And that's what it means voting with your fork.
Your critics say that buying organic food is too expensive and that our economy and average Americans can't handle a massive shift in the way we consume food to the ideal that you've been laying out here today. What's your response?
Well, we are looking at an obesity epidemic in this country that is frightening. We're looking at an environmental crisis. We're looking at the disintegration of our families and our sense of community. And so it seems to me that we need to pay up front for this instead of out back. And yes, it's more expensive, but every country in the world pays more for food than we pay. Our food is subsidized on the whole. And we're losing. We need to understand what we're really paying for. That's the education piece that needs to come.
Given today's worldwide food crisis, can we afford to be slow?
Well, to be slow means that we're paying attention. And we're really rebuilding a system. We're planting a garden in our backyard. What could be less expensive than growing our own food and eating it?
Bob Zelick, though, the president of the World Bank, is calling on the G8 leaders, also meeting this week, to ease export bans on food so that food can move faster to the people who need it over long distances around the world, because not everybody can grow our own food, or we'd all be just, you know, subsistence farmers, wouldn't we?
But, yes, in fact, we could grow, and nothing wrong with subsistence farmers. We just have to support them, and we have to communicate about the best ways of farming and the kinds of crops that are most nutritious. The conversation in the United Nations right now with Kofi Annan is about supporting the people who are doing sustainable farming and feeding that food to school children. So they came about it a very different way than I came about this. And to put the two ideas together, that the best tasting food could be the most nutritious food for you.
Alice Waters, the chef, with me for another few minutes here on WNYC, founder of the restaurant Chez Panisse in Berkeley, advocate of the slow food movement, as you've been hearing. And last year, you and New York restaurateur Mario Batali stopped serving bottled water in your restaurants. You say, as we both sip our bottled water here at this conference table in a boardroom, why did you do that?
I had been thinking about it for a long time. This is kind of a crazy thing that we're doing, hauling water from around the world And somehow the bottled water from Italy happened to be even less expensive than the bottled water that was produced in the United States.
Isn't that bizarre?
An even crazier idea. And then I just read a book about all of the ways in which big companies are manipulating the water rights of people around the world. And it seems to me that this is something that we can do very easily, is to filter our water and carbonate our water and offer it to people in restaurants for free.
What's the worst thing about Americans' current attitudes toward what they eat? To me, it might be that we eat the same things every meal, every day, it seems like.
Certainly, that boredom around food, that instead of having every day a moment that is revitalizing and, in fact, inspiring, not something that's fancy in terms of food, but something that's real, that connects you to that moment in time is really what is missing. And the idea that Americans think about food as fueling up and in that place of health, instead of the way that people in other cultures think about eating as a little celebration, as a moment in the day for relaxation, of connecting with your family and friends. Sitting at the table, I think, is the most important part.
Last thing, you participated in the show Iconoclasts on the Sundance Channel, which shows conversations with unlikely combinations of luminaries, and you were paired with Mikhail Baryshnikov. You know, a chef and a dancer. It makes me think about the old quote, I forget who said it, about music critics, that writing about music is like dancing about architecture. So what did a chef and the great Baryshnikov find to talk about?
Well, he's been coming to my restaurant for a very long time. And after all, we all eat. Food is our common language. And I can't think of anything more important for the dancer than to be feeding oneself well. I'm sure there are just lots of ways in which they have to think about food that is unlike the way I think about it. And I had an opportunity to talk with his dancers and to talk about some of these ideas of providence, and particularly a woman who said she made eggs, a little omelet every day for herself. And I said, well, where are you getting your eggs? She said, well, at the store. And I said, this is something you're eating every day. Why aren't you using really tasty, delicious, organic eggs? She said, I never thought about it before. I said, you can find these. And I went and I got her a dozen eggs that were from the Union Square Farmers Market, every color of the rent, from blue to pale, you know, cream color, and little spotted brown ones. And it was like a revelation for her.
Too beautiful to eat.
Too beautiful to eat, right?
Alice Waters, thanks a lot.
Thank you.